putting myself together here. Do something different.
Okay.
I take this in another room.
Okay.
Fairfair used to be that angle. Uh-oh, I knew it was gonna happen.
You're
right. But I didn't. Thank you. Guys, hope everybody's doing well this morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get it to me, Tim.
Awesome.
Thank you. There you go. Like a frisbee. Like a frisbee. Guys, we're going to be over in Psalms 100 this morning.
All right. Amen.
And also, you can park a finger in, we're going to be in Psalms 100 mostly this morning. But you can park a finger in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. You can park a finger right there. So, you know, I always like to like watch documentaries. I think this was formative. You learn a lot. Like I learned this new documentary on Smithsonian Channel about how did they build that. It shows all these fascinating structures. And I'm like, how did they build that? You know, you always think about Dubai, who's got like that island out like on a lake or something. Well, in Manhattan, because, and this is something unique. Manhattan, as they call it, concrete jungle, it's 22 miles basically in living space.
Wow.
And then within that 22 miles, they have 1.6 million people living there.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking,
wow.
And they too big, because I don't walk. I know what that looks like. That's a lot of people in that. That's 1.6 million people in that. And so one of the things they wanted to build was, they said, we need to have more greenery, because it's concrete. And so, you know, they started turning old, like, subway tracks up above until, you know, like, walking paths are green. And they show people who go up and sit like they're on the beach or something. They sit in chairs and sit up on the platform. They got trees and green and grass. People loved it. It was a big hit. And so then they took and said, well, we need to add more greenery to this concrete jungle. So we need to get some greenery in it. And so what used to be Old Pier, I think it was Old Pier 54 or something like that. That's back in the days in the early 20th century, say early 19th century, when all the big ships were coming in and everything and things like that, Titanic. So what they did was, these things, of course, they you know, eroded and broke down and you get these little wooden pylons to get the water. So they collaborated with some British architects, brought them in, and they built this big, like, greenery out on the river. It extends from New York's main way and it goes out on the Hudson River. And it's full of greenery, has an amphitheater, has parks and everything. And I thought, that's a vision. That's a vision to build like that. You know, I say that because I want you to look around this room. Our vision going into next year is build.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, look at how they built this. They got some people who were good at their craft. We'll get that study in the Bible with people.
Yep.
Come on, we're going to go wild. We're great. And they brought these minds together to build these great areas. And the area is so confined. I think about 22 miles, and you're housing 1.6 million people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
We know what it's like to exist in small areas. But God is showing us a blessing here where we'll be able to pack this room up here and grow. I thought it was amazing something I learned this morning. Just being able to build, you see, if you have the right attitude, it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I learned about people, and things that people do, this is some interesting facts. And this morning we're going to talk about, you know, praising God, you know, being grateful. And I appreciate the last song Richard chose about, you know, every praise, because we're going to talk about, you know, let your praise be heard. But here's an interesting fact about people that I learned also. Blind archery. Blind people who shoot.
Hmm.
Wow.
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who dreamed of that?
Yeah, really.
Well, it's a blind guy. And he had a friend who owns an archery bow shop and weapons and stuff, and he can go in the back and he can shoot archery. And he's like, I would like to really do that. And of course, the owner can see, like, and how is this going to work out?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the guy said, well, let's put our heads together. So they designed a pole, really a pole, and it stands there, and it's a guy. And there's a person there with you, and they take the blind person's hand and put it up against the guy. They got it lined up like that. They hold the bow and arrow, and they shoot with this guy and release. Uh-huh. And some of them are pretty good. They can drop you dead. I was like, this is amazing, a blind guy. And you know, of course, he uses other senses to hear and stuff, but they were showing that it's possible to build anything to accommodate and adapt anybody. And they say, you know, attitude, if you have the right attitude, it can happen. I thought, this blind guy thought of this, and now it has a whole bunch of blind people coming in, and they're all taking archery.
Huh.
Yeah.
I was like, man, things you learn. And finally, I think about desire. You know, I think about desire before we're going to talk. That's my Let It Praise. So everybody know about the Titanic, don't we?
Yes.
Oh, man. Do you know that you can go see the Titanic? A guy designed this submarine. The Titanic sits about 2.4 miles below the top of the ocean and everything.
Nice.
And if you pay $250,000, you can go see it. Now, I'm amazed because I watched the documentary, and there are people, they're paid this. A person mortgaged their home to go see this.
Whoa.
I was like, oh man, I gotta be on fire for Christ. You will mortgage your home to go see it. It's only for 12 hours, because it says 12 hours in total, so you have to send down, but people that mortgage their home.
Wow.
To pay for this 12-hour trip. I was like, Jesus, what am I doing? And I complained about not wanting to give up the Lord. One lady had been saving up her whole lifetime, and she gave up her whole life savings. She said it for 30 years to go see this. She said, dreams don't have a price. Come on. That's some conviction.
Yeah.
Now, you think 30 years, you're in retirement age.
Around foolishness, but yeah.
You giving up all that money for a 12-hour time.
No.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
But if people like that in the world wouldn't do that, what are we willing to do for the kingdom? I can see God measuring that. I can see God when you get there. Well, Lord, you know this? God said, you know what? This lady gave up $250,000, had nothing to do with me, just to go see a ship. And you couldn't give up this? Just for me? I think about stuff like that, like, what am I going to tell God when I decided not to be sacrificial or do something for him? When there are people being sacrificial for things that don't even involve God. How many God would say, you really have no case in it? You really have no case. I mean, look, and he's going to pull stuff not out of the kingdom. He's going to pull stuff out of what worldly people are doing. And when a worldly person said, dreams don't have a price. Okay, you got me. Just some things that I learned this morning. You know, and finally, guys, we'll be going to that. I love watching shows. I think something I learned. The U.S. is doing great. We are the leader in when it comes to dealing with amputees, getting them replacement legs and stuff like that. We are the leader. And so a lot of Ukrainian people have lost limbs and stuff. And short put, they never dealt with nothing like this, a whole bunch of amputees like that. And so the doctors are doing the best they can. It's like, you know what, they're just doing the best they can. They're going to learn. But they're butchering some, when they're doing surgery, they're basically butchering some things up. But so America started bringing some of the Ukrainian soldiers over here to help them get a replacement leg. And I thought, well, that's amazing. And they had one of the U.S. senators. You always think our U.S. senators, oh, they're all walking good. But one of the U.S. senators there, she's a female. And it's like, wow, both of her legs are gone. She lost hers in the war, going to war here. But she's more of a motivational for them, saying, you can do this, look at mine. She has an older mother. And I thought, why? And they say, we want to serve them, because a lot of them are losing limbs. And Ukrainian doctors, as good as they are not as advanced in medicine as we are. And so when they go to amputate your leg, they're not doing it correctly.
Oh, okay.
But America, the doctors are, because they've been doing it so long, they're finding a way to work around that to make sure that these guys have a chance at life. This one gentleman, he dances, like Dances of the Star, lost his leg, and his wife's got a baby due. But his spirits are in high hopes. And so I think about things that are happening in the world. When I think about what we need to praise God for. And finally, as we go into Psalms 100, in America, up until 2020, car accidents were the leading death of things in the children that car accidents. As of 2020, guns have succeeded. Kids are dying more from gunshots than dying in cars now.
That's crazy.
I said, wow, man, we've got a lot going on. You know, just, I don't know if most of you watch news. I do watch news. And, you know, this one hurt me. And who's to blame? Maybe the parent. Who's to blame? I don't know. But recently here in Jackson, some kids got a hold of a gun, two 12-year-olds, and they decided to play Russian roulette.
Oh. What?
One kid's in jail. The other one's dead.
Oh, wow.
Now, it'd be easy to say if you've done the problem, the gun's not the problem. Somebody was irresponsible.
Right.
And the child got a hold of the gun.
Right.
That's what happened there. Mm-hmm. And maybe they got on the street, but you know, there's so many irresponsible people out there in the world, most of the world, but I thought, man, and I appreciate Todd Lesson about, you know, Jackson. You know, it needs us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It needs us. This city really needs our influence. This city needs your life. It just needs you. Especially when kids, and they'll be getting hold of guns forever, but when they get a weapon and they don't know what it's for, what it does, they think it's all fun and games. Lives are changed. They need us. I love it, Psalms. And really, Psalms 100 focuses on about being grateful, you know. Just giving grateful praise. And I think maybe we don't do that a lot. Sometimes we think we do. But do we really give a lot of grateful praise? You know, I can tell you, you know, people ask me about this book I wrote. I'm so excited it's out. I'm glad it's out. Grateful to God. But when you do anything, whether it's writing a book, anything you do, you have a lot of thoughts that go through your mind. And you have to find peace in your own mind, your own heart,
mm-hmm.
with the project that you're doing. And like, let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's out there, you just need to praise God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Do God, do what you're going to do with it. But in Psalms 100, verse 1 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. There's a word called conspicuousness. And I, you know, I'm going to tell you, I like big words, but I don't like big words. I like, you really need a big word to explain this. That's me, like, you really need a big word, whether it's simplified. But then again, I'm like, this is challenging. I got to figure out how to pronounce this big word. I want to tell you. But conspicuousness, it is defined as the quality of being noticeable or easy to see. Are your praises being heard? Are your praises to God for all that he does in your life and all that he has been doing in your life? Is it easy to see? Do family members see it? Do friends see it? Do your community see it? Are your praises very noticeable?
Amen.
You know, do people around you see you, hear your joy in the Lord? God has no interest in a secret discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have my praises secret. I'm going to have my praise. I don't know if I even know God has no interest in that. You know, he wants his praise to be heard, his praises to be heard and known throughout the earth.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He wants his praises to be heard and known throughout the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watch a lot of documentaries, and they tell me about a lot of things happening throughout the earth. I was like, man, that's amazing. I didn't know that. But I don't see too many documentaries or hear too common about all the great things God is doing throughout the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Just in our life as individual, as a church. Don't hear too much about that.
Mm-hmm.
What about your community? Do they hear all that God is doing through your life and in your life throughout your community?
Mm.
Your community may be your workforce. Your community may be your neighborhood. Your community may be the block that you live on. Your community is your family that you interact with, especially over Thanksgiving. Christmas is coming up. New Year's. Are they hearing your praises? Over in Matthew 10, yes, Mark, at Matthew chapter 10. God has no interest in secret discipleship. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Wow. Your praises to God are meant to be known. People need to be aware. People need to see. People need to hear. God has no interest in a secret discipleship. If you're going to keep it to yourself, you're doing harm to yourself. It needs to be known. Discipleship is an outward expression.
Yeah.
It always is and always will be. We need to learn to praise God outwardly. That's what we need to do. Verse 2 again says, in Psalms 100, get back over there. Psalms 100, verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We need to learn to praise God through servitude. Serving others is a great feeling, and it has its benefits. But serving God, however, requires devotion, dedication, sacrifice, and commitment. You know, with most folks, they're not willing to give that. They're not willing to give God the devotion. They're not willing to but sacrifice for God. They're not willing to commit to God. They're just not. But what about you? What about us? Are we willing to commit to God? Be devoted to God? Willing to sacrifice to God by being great servants in our community? Being great servants during our lifetime here on earth. That's what I think about. You know, I found that I'm more grateful as I get to live a day longer, because I get to appreciate life just a little bit longer. And Thanksgiving was great. We had all of Sharice's family there and everything, and me, Sharice, and Candace, we did a lot of cooking, and, you know, it was just great to just, you know, Sharice getting in there and everything, and, you know, I had to make her sit down because I told her she's doing too much, pushing herself, because her body was like, hey, we're done, we're done. But a great heart to serve and just to really serve the family. And you can think like, we'll get all these people in this small house. I say, I don't know. We'll figure it out. That's me. Like, we'll figure it out. We'll think about it. But it was great just to serve a family and some friends. And they were impacted.
Amen.
They were encouraged. And they were blown away. And they were grateful. And they thank God for it. That was great. I remember my mother recently said to me, she said, you are a good son-in-law.
Aww.
I'm
sorry.
I said, that's awesome.
Yes, you are.
Not too many people, whether you are a daughter-in-law or son-in-law, not too many people hear that.
That's true.
But you know, it's like, you know, hey, just do that. And even her sister, because in the house, I keep it cold for Sharice so she's comfortable. And so I wrap up. I have a sweater suit.
Yeah.
So like I'm all loaded up and everything. And so when we was at Thanksgiving, I was moving around, it was a little warm, but as I sat down, all the cool stuff set in them, so I started wrapping up. She asked Ken, why you doing that? And Ken said, he does that so mom can be comfortable and cool in the house. And I heard her sister say, now that's love.
Yeah. Amen. You go, baby.
You know, God, as much as God wants you to praise him, God will see to it that you get to praise if you make every effort to do right by God.
Mm-hmm.
He will. You ain't got to go, hey, look at me, praise me, look at me, praise me. Look at what I've done, look what I've done. All you have to do is scribe and say, I want to do the right thing according to what God said is right. And God will make people take notice.
Mm.
And people will acknowledge that.
Mm.
You know, when it comes to serving God, we have to understand that, you know, when people don't serve, when people fail to serve the Lord, it is a failure to praise him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but praise requires action. You've got to take action. I think about some of the people I just shared with you about the lady who took her life savings. Maybe most of it just, you know, hey, gave it up for a 12-hour trip to see if I can. That took some action.
Mm-hmm.
But she thought it was worth it. What actions are you taking? What actions will you be taking going forward? We know this time of year comes every year. And we should be grateful for the fact that God allows us to make it to the end of the year, and God allows you to start planning. What am I going to do when the new year coming?
Mm-hmm.
all the New Year dreams, all the New Year commitments, all the New Year promises. Have you ever thought about, Lord, can I at least keep one promise for one whole year? 365 days? One of the most common promises that we don't keep is, I'm going to go on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lose some weight.
Right.
That promise used to fail by January 3rd. It just did. And then somebody told me, they said, you know what? You need to stop saying you're going on a diet. It's just a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just change how you're going to eat. That's all. Just change what you're going to do. But it said, when you say it's a diet, you feel a lot of pressure to hold to something. Mm-hmm. Just make a decision. Say, you know what? I'm just going to change. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Make a lifestyle change. What actions are you going to take in your walk with God coming into the new year? We have a vision to build. We have a plan to build. When you come in this room, you need to look around and say, man, how can I do my part to help fill this room up with people who need to be a part of the body of Christ? How can I do my part to help fill this room up with other people who need to understand and know what it's like to praise our God?
Yeah.
How can I do my part? How can I serve the Lord in this way that he would acknowledge my servitude as being praised for him? Your praise requires action. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Mm-hmm. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about praising the Creator. Praise the Creator. I'm glad, so glad, really happy that God thought Sydney is worth creating. Let's design and draw him and get him on the plan.
There we go.
I'm so glad that God just didn't stop at Adam when he said, okay, Adam's good enough. I'm so glad that God said, no, we're going to design a companion. We're going to design, put some women on this earth. I'm so glad God didn't stop it. I'm so glad that God didn't say, you know what, Noah, get your family, everybody else gone. We ain't created nothing else. I'm bringing it on. I'm so glad that God said, no, no, I believe in what I have created. Guess what? We're going to keep that snowball. I'm just so glad God didn't ever give up on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've done some things in life that I've not been proud of. Now, at the time when I was doing them, I didn't know I should be proud of them.
Right.
Because I was in me. I was doing me. I was in my own way. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm doing what I want to do. But when you get a little older and you get into the scriptures and you see the word and you talk to God a little more and you stop praying, you stop talking to God, asking God for things, asking God to help you, asking God to clear this up, just asking God to challenge you, Lord, do you understand? And God said, let me flip a few scriptures for you. Let me make sure you study this and read this. And God put people in your life to disciple you and people to talk with you. And you start learning, you realize, oh, I'm messed up. I am messed up. Thank goodness. You did not treat me or give me what I deserve.
That's right. Wow.
You have to praise the Creator because he is a merciful Creator.
Yes.
He is a merciful Creator. You know, even after becoming a disciple, I'm going to tell you how it is. You become a disciple of the Lord and you're just excited. All right. I got a clean slate. This is great.
Yep.
But you better realize you got to still fight with some old demons.
Yep.
You got to learn to get rid of some old habits. Mm-hmm. I'm in the kingdom fired up. It's like, why is these old habits not going away? You got to put some work in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to change the way you think. Mm-hmm. You got to change the way you feel about things. And you got to change the way about how you feel. You got to praise the Creator for mercy and grace. Because he gives you time to work on it, and he works with you on the issues that you need to change. You know, evolution, that word evolution, you would not find it, or I should say you would not find any support for it in Scripture. And it does not praise God. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Evolution, you would not find any support for it in Scripture. And God does not support evolution. You know, man is big on evolution. I always wonder about that. How can somebody that you created decide to come up and say, well, let me see how creation really happened. Mm-hmm. When they weren't there, when things were being created.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get that? were you there? I think about the conversation with Job. God said, you know, straighten up, you know, and straighten yourself up like a man. And God said, I'm going to question you. Where were you at when I was doing this, and I was doing that, and I was creating this, and I was creating that? But you know, when you look at Job, and you look at some of the old people in the Bible, it's still the same. Man is still trying to play God. They're trying to play the creator.
That's right.
They're still trying to tell you, we know how everything started.
Yeah.
And for some reason, God's word that he's given us is just not enough for them. You know, scripture insists and emphasizes that God did the creating. Do not be misled. Do not be misled. I was talking to another brother and several brothers about this, just sharing my thoughts, you know, I look at stuff. It's sad when life is lost. It's just sad when life is lost. It hurts us. It hurts God. It hurts me. I don't care where you're at in your walk, because at one time in my walk, I was not right with God. And so I understand when God said, you know, you need to love the person, and you need to help them see where they are. And so, you know, recently, you know, the LGBT club out in Denver shut up all those people, and a lot of people died. And I love God's Holy Spirit, and I can see, like, there are some people there saying, like, yeah, that's right, they need to die. There are some people like that. It's where they are. They hate their heart. There are some other people saying, well, no, that ain't right. They shouldn't do that. I don't agree with it, but that's not right. And then there should be the disciples who, like, gosh, are saying, painful. Just painful. Mm-hmm. Gosh, he conversation with God and Jonah at the end. Mm-hmm. After Jonah went to Nineveh, came out of Nineveh, and Jonah was mad because he didn't destroy those wretched people, right, but he destroyed his tree.
Yeah.
You know? That's how some people are. But God says, you need to look at it from my point of view. These people don't know they left from their right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just don't know. They don't know no better. Mm-hmm. So who is God going to send to show them what's better? Us. Us. The Creator said, you're it. I couldn't help but think of that instant because it's so long. And the one thing we always utter is, this is a hate crime. This is a hate crime. And as truly as it may be a hate crime, the one thing the Spirit tells me that when God comes back, and if none of these people have changed their view on the way their lifestyle is and the way they believe, when Jesus comes back and he says, okay, it's time to call everybody to accountability, they're going to charge and they're going to accuse Jesus of a hate crime. Mm. Because Jesus' view doesn't line up with their view of the way they want to live. This is a hate crime. Where's the love? This way is the right way.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to praise the Creator for mercy. Because even those people who say it's a hate crime, God's still giving a lot of them a time to know him, to find him, to connect with him, and to begin to see the things that way that God intended for them to see. Mm-hmm. That's God's way. Praise the Creator. Verse 4, it says, enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We need to learn to praise God by bowing down. There's a word at the end of this that says, I'm going to make sure I get it right. First of all, give thanks to him and praise. It's not in this translation, but in another translation it says, bless his name. And I looked at the word bless his name. And in that context, that interpretation, bless means to kneel and bow down. Now, we know bless also means to be happy and happiness. But in the context in the Psalms, it says, kneel and bow down.
Yeah.
Wow. You learn to praise God by bowing down before him.
Amen.
Now, God's not necessarily talking about the physical. God said, I need that heart to give into me. Mm-hmm. I need that heart to do some bowing. God said, I need that mental state to do some bowing.
Amen.
God said, you know, your feelings, your emotions, they need to bow and submit to me. That's praising God. You know, have you completely submitted to God? Ask yourself that. Have you completely and totally, mentally, in your heart and emotionally, submitted to God.
Amen.
Well, a lot of us in this room, we can say, hey, I'm probably about 80%, 90%. There's still some things we have conflict with God about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still wrestling with God. And while I'm wrestling with God, I'm asking God, don't you do me like you did Jacob? Don't you twist my hip up? But you're still wrestling with God. There are issues. Earlier I shared about when you came out the water, life was great. I'm new. The slate is clean. Things are great. But then you found out I got to wrestle with the Lord a little bit on some issues. And a lot of times when you wrestle with God on issues, you're thinking, God, why are you not seeing this my way? But the more you wrestle with God, God helps you to see your way is not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, if you will only surrender, if you will only just submit, things will go well for you. You know, surrendering, it begins in the heart. If you're not bound to God, you will not praise Him. If you are not bowing down to God, you will not praise Him. Surrendering also happens in the mind. God's thoughts must become your thoughts. If you are not giving God your mind, you are not praising Him. You can continue to come to church and have a seat. But if you are not willing to give God, your praises are in vain, hypocritical. 11 says, enter the gates with thanksgiving. What a challenge. What an encouragement. You know, enter his court with praise. Man, that's the way you want to enter the house of the Lord. That's the way you want to enter into fellowship with other people. That's the way you want to enter into prayer with God. That's how you want to live life. You're like, man, I really want to commune with God. But I'm going to have to surrender. I'm going to have to surrender. I'm going to have to stop being in conflict with the Lord on issues that are just bothering me. I remember telling a brother, and I was so encouraged, a brother, he texted me and said, man, I bought your book, getting it. I was encouraged by that. Paul from IPI said, I bought your book, go check it out. And then, and I was telling him, you know, one of the things about writing this book was, another brother asked me, I'm trying to get rid of another brother asked me, how long did it take? And I said, all combined, maybe about 3-4 years, just really just focused in writing. But there's one thing about writing this book, I come to the realization that everybody's not going to like it. Mm-hmm. Just life. Everybody don't like your book. Now, in my mind, I don't want everybody to like my book.
That's
I want you to
right.
like my book.
Uh-huh.
What's your
yeah.
problem?
Yeah.
Sydney, everybody's not going to like your book.
That's so true.
Sydney, everybody don't like me. So what do you think everybody don't like your book?
Mm-hmm.
Say amen, Lord.
Oh.
But I said, you know, brother, he asked me, I said, but you know, this book is designed to prick the heart.
Mm.
It's just real. It's truthful. It's just simple. It's designed to really prick the heart and stir you up. And I said, you know what? God told me, he said, look, your book is one of the many representations of who I am. There are other people who write books, great books, where it's just like, God is love. God is great. Come to God. God said, this is one representation of me. But your book represents another representation. And when I can get at peace with that, God said, you'll realize this book is designed for me to get the praise. I'll let you get a little bit of something, but it's for me to get the praise. And God, so I'm going to use every man and woman that's inspired to write about me or anything that's in conjunction with me. I'm going to use them in the way that they need to be used to meet every need so nobody can ever say, well, Lord, you never did reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Have to be at peace. Have to be totally surrendered with what God is doing and what God has done in your life. When you bow down before God, you are giving him praise. And then the final verse, guys, Psalms 100, it says, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Simply put, we need to praise God because he is good. As simple as that, he is good. We need to praise God because he is good. We are like to be loved. We want love to last forever. Mm-hmm. We want love that never ends. And some people have experienced love that has come and gone. It's the life we live in. And some have experienced love that has been forever, right? Never ending. So what do you do with that love? You protect it. You need to protect that love. When somebody loves you so deeply and intently, you need to protect that love.
Yep.
You need to respect the love that somebody has for you. You know, not everybody loves you. And we want everybody to love us. But not everybody loves us. But for those who have set out to love you, respect that love. Protect that love. What about you? Do you have love that is enduring forever? The love that you shower on family? Is it forever love? The love that you're showering on friends? Is that a forever love? Meaning until the day they depart this earth? What about the love for your community? Jackson has its up and down. It does. But you need love to see it. You know, our governor, that position of being a governor for him is a struggle. I just see those things in him. And I look at him. I remember when the water crisis happened, and I remember he was standing up on the side of the podium there, and I think somebody was speaking, and man, I was like, this guy could better contain himself. He's so upset, and he's turning red, his cheeks are getting rosy red, he's clenching his fists constantly. I'm like, he's struggling. You know, and then when he went to Hattiesburg, you know, there are some of us who wear our emotions on our sleeves. We try to contain them, but they just bore to the title. He went to Hattiesburg, he did a speech, and he opened up with, he says, it's a great day to not be in Jackson, Mississippi. He caught backlash for that, boy. That came hard.
Yeah.
Doing a water. I was like, oh, I said, dude, you said it. It may be true, but you just don't put that out there. Or you need to find a way to have those conversations somewhere else. So you better convey that, you know. And then finally, in this last little debate they did with the federal government coming there, he wrote in a statement, you know the news is going to take it and run with it. And he said, you know what? He said, hopefully the federal government can help them with this incompetent leadership. I was like, oh, that was hard. Now, I'm not saying he was wrong to say, you got to find ways to do that. There's a lot of things that we feel at times, and we want to say things, but realize, I can't say it like that. Because it's not going to, no matter how true it is, I got to figure out how to still say this truthfully and rightfully without you feeling like, oh, you just killed me. I'm just dead. I can't recover from that emotionally. Mm-hmm. I said, man, this guy's struggling. Learning how to love this community. Mm-hmm. Learning how to love this community. Mm-hmm. Now, he talks about a lot of other great things he's doing throughout the state. But he keeps neglecting to want to love Jackson. You've got to love everybody. Mm-hmm. Long ago, our preachers and the sisters said this, shared at a leaders meeting long ago up in Ashridge. She said, you have to learn to love the unlovable. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For him, Jackson seems to be in love right now. Well, a lot of people seem to be in love. But you gotta love them and work through this. And you can't just let your emotions just keep overroding and just keep flowing out and the wrong things come out. And I hurt for the governor because I thought if he ever runs for office, you know how they do, they're gonna bring this back up. If he wants to go any higher, people gonna bring that stuff back up. You know. What type of love do you have? Is it a compassionate love? Is it a truth love? Because we all know we have to speak the truth in love.
Yep.
You just got to figure out how to speak it. And sometimes, no matter how you speak the truth in love, it's just going to hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't care how you dress up. If there's a turkey dress and stuff and cranberry, it just going to hurt. That's it. It's going to hurt. Do you have love that will endure to the day you leave this earth? Will people see that in your character that you have this type of love? We need to learn to praise God because he's good. Because without his mercy, you wouldn't be here. You just wouldn't. And then you say, man, without God's mercy, where would I be? Huh. Where would I be? Oh, man, a sure wreck. No, with mercy. With mercy, or I should say without mercy, would you have made it through this past year? There's a lot been going on in the past year. Some great times, some challenging times, some hard times. I'm telling you, man, there's nothing worse than trying to bring projects together, things together. Ooh, that's enough stress in itself. But without mercy, would you have made it through this past year? The year's coming to a close. It's coming to an end. And the Lord wants you to be like, look, you need to praise him because he is good. His faithfulness is never ending. And God also wants you to pass this type of training, this thinking, this heart on to the next generation. People need to see your praises. They need to hear your praises when you talk about God. They need to see your praises in action when you're serving others. People need to be able to shout hallelujah to the Lord because of you. People need to be able to say amen because of you. People need to be able to say how great our God is because of you. As we close the year out, what are your praises going to look like? What is your life going to look like? Going into the new year, what will your praises look like? What's your plan to glorify God and see to it that you get the praises that you deserve? I want to challenge you to let your praises be seen in servitude. I want to challenge you to let your praises be heard through your action. I want to challenge you to always bow before the Lord in your heart, in your mind, and your soul so that God may be praised. And I also want to challenge you and to remind you to always praise God because he is good. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.